Let's take our Bible and turn to John chapter 14. John 14, and we'll read verse 15 to 31 as the text of the message this morning. Many people feel sorry for Christians. You know, in our world today, some people feel sorry for us as Christians. They consider Christians to be misguided, unenlightened, living in the dark, living in past ages, and those poor Christians, they just don't know any better, and boy, would it be, you know, it wouldn't be terrible to be them. Some consider our faith to be outdated and unrealistic, our faith in the Word of God. Some think the principles that we hold to are bigoted and unfair, and they say, who do they think they are? How can they believe those things? How can they stand for those things? And of course, we realize that we're holding to the unchanging Word of God, and it's God who sets the rules for life. He is the Creator, and He has every right to do that. You know, even some Christians feel sorry for themselves. A lot of Christians feel sorry for themselves and think, oh, woe is me, I'm suffering for the Lord because, you know, it's such a rough life being a Christian, And they eye the world and unbelievers who are enjoying the seasonable pleasures of sin as being the privileged ones and say, poor me, I have to suffer through and try and be good because I'm a Christian and we're not supposed to do those things. And, you know, the world's having all the fun and I'm not allowed to have a part in that. And people feel sorry for themselves as Christians. You know, that's led to many believers quitting on God, stopping living for God, quit living out their faith because they feel like the world is enjoying life and we're, you know, not. And so Christians sometimes feel like they have to go over to the world side and live like the world. You know, that kind of attitude of believers not only removes the joy that belongs in the Christian's life, but also reduces their desire and reason to share the gospel. You know, if you feel that you're poor us poor Christians, why would you share the gospel with somebody else to make them to be a poor Christian too? And it takes away the joy of life. We say many times to encourage somebody who maybe seems to be having that struggle, well, just think of heaven, think of eternity. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And true enough, for sure, I'm all for thinking about heaven and the joys of the Lord and the return of Christ and all those wonderful things are going to take place. But my friend today, there's many things in the Christian life that we enjoy today. And we are a blessed people in this life. Because we have the Lord. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Heaven isn't the only blessing we have to look forward to. You know, there are many blessings here as well. If Christians would only realize how privileged we are, how blessed we are, and let that really get a hold of our hearts and our lives, it would transform our faith and truly would transform our world. Because if Christians realize how blessed we are, how privileged we are, then we are going to want to tell other people about the faith that we have and the victory that is ours and the joy that is ours. You know, in our text this morning, Jesus shares with the disciples that he would reveal himself to them, but not to the world. In other words, they would have a privilege that the world did not. The revelation of Christ to his disciples, to the believers, and the manner of it is truly the Christian's privilege. I'd like to speak about that this morning, and the title for the message is just that, the Christian's privilege. We'll start in verse 15, overlap a little bit from our text from a couple weeks ago, but I really focus on the towards the end of the chapter. But it says in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this message today. We pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts through it. Lord, I pray that we would be inspired as believers today to realize the privilege that is ours to have the Holy Spirit with us in our lives day by day, to have you manifest yourself to us, and Lord, to have the truth of your word in our lives. Lord, may we realize today that this is a great blessing and something that the world needs to have as well, to give them a hope, to give them a joy, to give them direction in their lives. And Lord, I pray that we leave here this morning blessed, encouraged, and strengthened in our faith. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us each one according to the need of our life today and minister to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think, first of all, this morning about the comfort of the Spirit in verses 15 to 20. Last week we concluded, or a couple weeks ago, last message, we concluded with these verses of Scripture in verses 15, 16, and 17. We really didn't deal with them a lot. We just mentioned them in the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who would empower us to do the great things for the Lord, which Jesus said that his followers would be able to do greater things than he had done. But this morning we'll see in more detail the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We see that he is the Comforter in verses 16 and 18, in verse 26 and so on. Several times here mentioned that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The word Comforter is consoler, advocate, or intercessor. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is, if you notice here, another Comforter. What did he mean by another Comforter? Well, he had been their comforter, hadn't he? He'd been with them in their day-to-day lives. They spent their time with him, and they walked with him, they talked with him, they saw him at work, and he had been a comforter to them. How many times do we read in the Scriptures where Jesus said to the disciples, "Be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I." And so he comforted them, he encouraged them, he was the one who came alongside them. Because of his presence, they didn't need to fear. They didn't need to be afraid because he was with them, whether it was in the storms on the Sea of Galilee or whether it was in the throngs of people who seemed to be about ready to kill Jesus. Jesus could say to them, "Don't worry, guys, I'm here." He was their comforter. But since Jesus was going away, and he told them that at the beginning of the chapter, "If I go, and I will go and prepare a place for you," and so on. So he said, "I'm going. But listen, don't worry, because I am going to send you another comforter, one who will accomplish the same things in your life as I have done while I've been with you. I will send to be with you." Unlike Jesus, who had been physically present for 3.5 years, this comforter would be the Holy Spirit and would never leave them, but would be with them forever. They must have been greatly comforted to know that the Holy Spirit would be like Jesus in comfort, but his presence would be with all of them. You know, when Jesus sent out the 70 and when he sent out the 12, he sent them out 2 by 2, he wasn't with all of them. He may have been with 2 of them at different parts of that, but there were times when they went out and they probably felt like, "Man, I wish Jesus was here to help us deal with this situation. I wish Jesus was here to help us to know what to do." Now he was telling them, "Listen, I've been with you, but I'm going to send you another comforter, and he's going to abide with you forever. All of you, wherever you go, he will be with you." He is the comforter. In his humanity, Jesus had been restricted in his presence, but not so by the Holy Spirit. You know, the believer has the same promise today, that of the Spirit's abiding presence. Present not just to empower us, but present to comfort us all the time. Wherever you go, wherever you are, you have the Holy Spirit with you as a believer. The Bible speaks about God being the comforter who comforts us in all our tribulation. We have, as believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, inside us at all times. That's a great comfort. That's a great thought. The comforter is with us. Believers are so blessed to have the comforting presence of God with them at all the time. You know, the world doesn't have that. We face the same trials many times as what everyone else faces, don't we? We go to work, co-workers, they may know somebody who's dealing with cancer, we may know somebody, it may be us, it may be them. Personally, we face the same trials many times. We face trials of health, we face trials of wealth, we face trials of broken friendships and relationships and things. We all face these common same things, unsaved and saved people alike. There are times of sorrow, there are times of heartache, there are times of difficulty. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a great advantage, do we not? Because inside of us is the comforter to help us through those situations. The one who can minister to us at any moment, at any time. You know, the world in their troubles turns to all kinds of things to bring comfort. Some turn to the occult. And they turn to all kinds of occultic practices to try and gain some sort of a comfort. They have their go to the seances and try and call their dead loved ones back and speak to them and all these things. They try and do that for comfort's sake. They turn to alcohol. And they say in the bottle it'll get rid of my sorrows. They try and drown out their sorrows with the bottle or with the drugs. With fame and fortune and so on, they try and do all these things, and you know they don't bring any comfort. But believer in Jesus Christ today, you have a privilege that the world does not have. You have inside you God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, who is there to help us in every situation that we may face, so that we don't need those things that fail and don't work. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 is quite a common passage of scripture where we're told that the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know that in the context of that scripture, it says that we should be without covetousness. You know, we don't need to be jealous of what the world has because we have something far greater. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. We have the presence of God with us. Don't think, oh man, if I wasn't a Christian, I could do this and I could do that and I could get away with all this. No. Realize the blessing, the privilege that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ to have the God of all comfort living inside you, to be with you in everything that you face and everything that you deal with. How often I've been comforted by the presence of God in my life, and I'm sure you have as well. What a privilege. You know, the Holy Spirit comforts with truth. In verse 17, Jesus says he is the Spirit of truth. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of truth. It's a nice thing to be comforted. It's a nice thing to have somebody pat you on the back and say, it'll be okay. But you know, if they're just empty words, it really doesn't last very long, does it? But if you know that somebody's telling you the truth and they're comforting you with the truth, that's a lot more comforting. Because that's enduring, that's lasting. Some people like to be comforted and they will receive comfort from a lie. Well, as long as it comforts me, that's okay. Well, that might get you through this moment, but it's not going to last you very long if it was a lie or if it's not a non-truth. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The things that He comforts you with are the things of God, the things of truth. People who don't have the Lord seek comfort and find perhaps a temporary comfort in lies, in drugs, in alcohol, in fame, in fortune. But there's an end to their comfort when the reality of it fizzles because it wasn't a comfort of truth. It was a comfort of fraudulent manner. I'm reminded of Israel when they inquired of the prophets as to whether to battle against Syria. Then they had asked Judah. It was when the tribes had divided, and Israel sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he said, "Hey, listen, will you come and fight with us against Syria and deliver us out of their, help us to, you know, to be delivered out of their hands?" And Jehoshaphat said, "I'll be with you. Our people are your people," and so on. And he went down there, and Israel had gathered together about 400 prophets. And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of here?" Because those 400 prophets were all saying, "Oh yeah, everything's going to go great. Everything's going to be super. Yeah, the king's going to be fine, and you're going to be delivered out of the hand of Syria, and everything's going to be good." Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord?" And the king of Israel said, "Well, there's one, but I hate him. He never has anything good to say to me." Why? Because he spoke the truth, and the king of Israel wasn't doing right. So they called Micaiah out of prison where they had him, and they warned him, "Listen, now everyone else has said good things. You better say something good." So he came out and sarcastically said, "Oh yeah, everything's going to be great." And the king of Israel said, "Don't I tell you always to tell me the truth?" Yeah, sure he did. Micaiah said, "Okay, king, this is what's going to happen. You're going to die." And the king of Israel turned to the king of Judah and said, "Didn't I tell you he always tells bad things?" But it was the truth. It wasn't much of a comfort, but there wasn't going to be much of a comfort in the lives of those 400 prophets when what they said wasn't true. For the believer, the comfort of God is always based in truth, meaning it endures. He is the comforter. He is always present with us. He comforts with truth, and he comforts from within. Jesus said here that he has been with you and shall be in you. Of course, the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we find the Holy Spirit came upon the believers that were gathered there. And Jesus had told them to wait for the promise of the Father, and he will come and he will indwell you. And he came in a mighty fashion and came in upon them so that they spoke with other languages and so on. And he came in great power. But from that moment on, we find in the scriptures that when people received Jesus Christ, they received the Spirit of God. That's the teaching of the epistles and so on. You know, that you have the Holy Spirit to comfort you from within. That's why he's able to promise to comfort you all the time, because he's always with you. He's always there inside you. In times of trial, conflict, and turmoil, we have the Holy Spirit comforting from within. That still small voice of comfort, encouragement, and strength is there within. What a privilege to have the Holy Spirit living within us. Christian, we are privileged today because we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, living within. The comfort of the Spirit, we see the manifestation of the Spirit in verses 21 to 24. The Lord manifests himself to us through his Spirit. Verse 15 and verse 21, Jesus says, as we referred to it briefly a couple weeks ago, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 24, verse 23, "If a man love me," Jesus said, "he will keep my words." Verse 24, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." Some interesting statements made here, isn't there, about loving God. About loving God. Jesus doesn't speak of claiming to love God, but of loving him in truth. Our love for God is seen not in our words only, but also in our actions. There are many people in this world, even many Christians, who say, "I love God. I love God." And at face value, we say, "Well, that's great. It's a good thing to love God." But God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind." And I suppose many, to a degree, do love God. But the problem is, often the lifestyle doesn't back up the truth of the saying. "I love God." We can say it very easily, can't we? It's three words. "Lord, I love you." And it's good to say it. There's nothing wrong to say to the Lord that you love him. But several times in this passage, as we've just read, Jesus equates love with action. The action of obedience. Not just the verbal, but the action, the putting it into practice. We've already referred to it. Verse 15, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Verse 23, keep my words. Verse 24, he that loveth not keepeth not my words. If a person truly loves God, it will be demonstrated by his obedience to God. I can tell my wife that I love her, but if I don't choose to spend time with her, never buy her anything, never treat her nice, do all kinds of things that would indicate exactly the opposite, my words would seem pretty empty, wouldn't they? Honey, I love you. I just enjoy spending time with you, but sorry, I don't have any time this week. My schedule's kind of full. Well, no, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Honey, I love you, and I know you hate this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that doesn't make sense. If I want to express my love to my wife, yes, I should do it verbally. I do. I should. It's right to do that. But if all it is words, it's pretty empty, pretty vain, pretty much a waste of time. Because after a while, if all it is words, the words mean absolutely nothing. And Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If I don't show my love to my wife, although I may say it 100 times a day, honey, I love you, she would have reason to question my love if it's never demonstrated in my life. John says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's a good statement for life, isn't it? Show our love. But don't you think that that also relates to our relationship with God? Lord, I love you. The Lord says, don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Are you going to demonstrate that love to me, Christian? If you love God, you'll be interested in knowing and doing what he says. That's what Jesus says here. Don't tell God how much you love him if you aren't willing to heed his word. We're often guilty of saying, Lord, I love you, but I'm too busy with my life to read my Bible, pray, share the gospel, attend church, or serve you. Now, we would never say those words, would we? We wouldn't say, Lord, I love you, but I don't have time for you. But the reality of our life demonstrates the truth. Don't tell the Lord how much you love him and then go and live contrary to his commands. It just doesn't make sense. When we do these things, we're really saying, Lord, I love you, but I love myself or my sin more. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's determine not only to say that we love God, but also to show it by our actions. Because there's a wonderful statement here that Jesus makes in verses 22 to 24. Verse 22, Judas asks the question, how is it, Lord, that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Interesting question, because for the past 3 years or so of the life of these men, Jesus had manifested himself to them. But in so doing, he'd also manifested himself to a lot of other people. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd of people gathered. Even when he said to disciples, listen, come apart and rest a while, and he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake and we'll get some rest a while. What happened? The people beat them over there. They ran around the shore and they were there waiting when Jesus got there. So everywhere they went, everywhere Jesus manifested himself to the disciples, the crowd of people soon assembled. So Judas very practically asked the question, Lord, how are you ever going to manifest yourself to us without it being to everyone else? To manifest means to exhibit, to appear, to declare, to inform, or to show. How could it be that Jesus would just manifest himself to this group of men, the believers, without manifesting himself to the world? Well, the answer, of course, was the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised. Who would indwell them? The interesting connection here is that Jesus says he will manifest himself to those who love him and keep his words. We say, well, doesn't God manifest himself to every believer? Well, yes, God manifests himself to the whole world through his creation. anyone can pick up a Bible and read it, at least in our culture where we have Bibles readily available, people can pick up a Bible and read them. God has manifested himself in many ways to many people, but he's speaking here, and very personally, he says to the disciples, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him, and we'll manifest ourselves to him. To those people who love him, to those people who follow him, to those people who desire to have that fellowship with him. I believe that many times we fail to see the Lord at work in our lives, even as Christians, because we're too busy with self and sin, and God doesn't have the opportunity to really show himself who he is to us. Do you share a deep conversation with people who are just superficial listeners? Probably not. If you want to talk about something that really means something to you and the person you're talking to is watching TV, reading a book, playing a computer game, you soon realize that, you know, I'm probably wasting my time bearing my heart to this person because they're not really listening. They're not really paying attention. They're not really there for me right now. Jesus says, I will manifest myself to those who love me, those who are keeping my word. What's he saying? He's saying, I believe that for the believer who is serious about loving me, serving me, obeying my word, he's going to see more of me and understand more of me and know more about me than the believer who is just carrying on away his life, just kind of with God as a side thing. Does the boss talk in detail about his plans for the company to the casual help who is evidently there just for the paycheck? Probably not. But to his managers or people who he or she looks to these are the people, these are the core of the company, they may open up more and say, listen, these are the plans we have for our company. I want you guys to be involved in this. But if the person that's there just says, checks in at the last minute and says, well, here I am, did my shift, hey, pay time, that's probably not going to be the person that finds a lot of detail from the boss about the company. You know, Christian, I believe that God wants to share much with us about his plans for us and for the world. But too often he can't because our mind and focus is far away. It's not on him. Oh, we're playing church on the side and we're doing this little thing and yeah, we take time for the Lord a little bit, but we're missing out on the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the God of creation, the God of all wisdom, saying, listen, I want to reveal myself to you. Because we're just really not focused. And how many times we said something like this in our lives as Christians. Well, I read my Bible, but I just really didn't get anything out of it. Could it be that you weren't really reading it to hear from God, that your heart was elsewhere and you were just doing it because you're supposed to? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 11 to 14. Some people here who were believers, but they were lacking in the manifestation of God to them. And there was a reason for it. It says in verse 11, of whom, speaking about Jesus Christ being of the order of Melchizedek and so on, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So there's a lot that could more be said, but we can't tell you. You're not ready to hear it because you're dull of hearing. For verse 12 says, when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See what's going on here? God said, I want to manifest myself to you, but you're not ready. You're not listening. And the time when you could be teaching, you need to be taught again because you need milk, because you haven't even taken the milk of the word. So there's no way you're ready for the meat of the word. I've manifested some things to you. You understand who I am. I'm your Savior and your Lord, but I can't go very deep with you yet because you're not there. You're not interested. Verse 14 says, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I remind you of what Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Reason of use. What is use? It means to put it into practice. If all we want to do is fill our minds with knowledge, God's going to say, I've maxed out your mind power right now. You can't take any more in. You need to start living what you know. And when you live what you know, then I'll really be able to manifest myself to you more. If you aren't planning on applying it and living by it, what you know already, why would the Lord show you more of himself and of his word? Do you desire the Lord to manifest himself to you? Then according to what Jesus says, we need to love him. We need to desire to keep his words, live them out in our life. I assure you, based on the promise of Jesus Christ here, that if you're hungry for the word of God and willing to live out what God says, he will manifest himself to you. He will show you his word. He will reveal himself to you in ways that maybe you couldn't imagine. See, we have a great privilege when we think about the God of heaven wants to reveal himself to us. It's a privilege that the world doesn't have. The comfort of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, and finally the peace of the Spirit at the end of our text this morning, mainly verse 25, 26, and 27, and so on. We see that Jesus gave them a promise of peace, not a superficial peace, but a deep, lasting peace. That peace would come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches in verse 26, Jesus says that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Spirit would teach them things that they weren't ready yet to receive. See, the disciples weren't ready to receive everything. They'd had a lot packed in 3 years, but they weren't ready. Jesus would tell them in John chapter 16, in verse 12, as many things I have to say to you, but you're not ready yet. But the Holy Spirit will teach you. Many times the gospel writers recorded that the disciples didn't understand. For yet they understood not the saying. They didn't understand it until after he was risen. So on these sayings. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you. The Holy Spirit indwells us, as we've mentioned. He indwells us to give comfort, but he also indwells us to teach us the things that we need to know. He helps us to understand the Word of God. If we would have time this morning, and you can write down the scripture references, look them up later in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 to 14, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual. And he teaches us the Word of God, gives us understanding. We have the author of the book dwelling within each of us to teach us his Word. Many things in the scriptures can't be understood by the natural mind. That's what he says. The natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of Christ. But the Holy Spirit is there to teach the believer and give understanding. How many times we've heard the call, give us an easier Bible version to read so we can understand it. When maybe the cry should be, Lord, you live inside me and you wrote this book. Help me understand what you want me to know. Give me an understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, give me understanding of what you have in this book. To learn the scriptures is a lifelong process. Scriptures are not understood overnight. When you don't understand something, ask God. Study it out. Ask him to show you. He may give you understanding right then if you're digging for it and seeking for it, or he may say, you're not ready for that one yet. But the Holy Spirit who lives within you, he'll show you in time to come what that scripture is about. What a privilege we have to have the Holy Spirit as our teacher and also as our reminder. Verse 26, Jesus says, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Sometimes, men, we think our wives are our reminders. Sometimes we think as people, we got these smartphones, they're our reminders. We've got a greater reminder than that. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, who will remind us of the things of God at just the right time. If we take time to read, study, and memorize God's Word, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance at just the right moment. It may be to bring comfort in time of distress, because remember, He's the Comforter. And He may bring those words of God that you've heard, and He brings them to your mind. Brings them to your remembrance just when you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then those verses come to mind, and you go, thank you, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. It may be to bring victory over temptation that you're facing. Something is before you, and you say, I'm just tempted to do this, and I know I can't resist this temptation on my own. And the Spirit of God brings a verse of Scripture to you to remind you that He is there, that He is the Comforter, that He is the strength, that He will give you the strength to overcome that temptation. It may be to bring direction to a decision that you need to make in your life. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will not only teach you, but He will bring things to your remembrance whatsoever the Lord has said unto you. Many times Bible verses have come to mind just when I needed them. How about you? Remember those times when you don't know what to do and a Bible verse comes? You realize that's a privilege of God. He's given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to teach you, to bring peace to those circumstances and situations, by reminding you of His Word. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm leaving my peace with you. That peace is in the form of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will comfort you, who will manifest Me to you, and who will remind you of what I have said and teach you. The privilege that was theirs and the privilege is ours today, believer, is the presence of God. The world doesn't have it. Don't cry after the world and think, oh, if I wasn't a Christian, I would. No, realize the blessing that you have being a believer in Jesus Christ. The world may have its pleasures and lusts that many enjoy, but they will soon pass. The Christian, on the other hand, has something that will help in this life and also in eternity. That is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Comforter. He is the means of God manifesting Himself to us, and He brings peace. Don't feel sorry for yourself as if you're missing out, Christian. Enjoy the Christian's privilege. Of course, if you're here today and not a believer in Jesus Christ, come to Him today. His salvation is eternal. It gives you the hope of heaven. But before then, you have things in this life you didn't have without Him.